Hi, this is episode 2F31, A Star is Burns. I'm Al Jean. I was one of the showrunners for this episode.
This is Jim Brooks. I couldn't be happier to be here.
This is Mike Reese. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm John Lovitz, a.k.a. The Critic.
I'm Dan Castellaneta. I would run and get things for John Lovitz.
Hello, I'm Susie Dieter, and I'm the director of this episode.
And I'm Ken Keeler, the writer of this episode.
This episode was conceived by Jim as an episode that would both be a Funny Simpsons and actually launch The Critic in its premiere on Fox. We had been canceled by ABC the season before, and we wanted to be on after The Simpsons, which would obviously be a good fit. And so Jim suggested that there be a Springfield Film Festival, which The Critic could come to as a judge. And it just seemed like a natural fit. We love doing movie parodies, and we thought that we could do quite a few on The Simpsons, with the people who were living in the town making their own films.
Tonight, we'll visit Springfield's answer to the Benedictine monks.
Al and Mike had a great journey with The Critic. It was on two networks and the internet. There was blood spilled at times, but the great thing is when we went on Comedy Central and we were the top rated shows and we knew we made cult, and
we've been on Comedy Central for it's 10 years since this episode aired. And we're still on. I think we've only done 23 critics. I know it seems like more, and they've been running those 23 for 10 years. At one point, they were running the show 9 times a week.
John, this is one of your favorite characters, right, man?
Yeah, I was thrilled, to have, you guys wrote this for me, which is, of course, very flattering. And I remember I met Al and Mike.
That's when you weren't reading scripts, you were only accepting tributes.
Yes. And to keep in the positive vein, I remember I met Al and Mike. I was positive they were gay.
Well, I think it was after League of Their Own that we started to do The Critic and to have John in it. And you were just really, hysterical in that movie. And I think that time that there was a lot of interest in different stuff that you were doing.
Well, say the truth. You originally wanted Gina Davis.
I thought it was a really good movie, but I really was sad that John wasn't in it the whole way. When he dropped them off
you
at the ball.
You were sad? How do you think I felt?
Well, they put your picture at the end.
I had a big monologue cut.
Really?
I am positive to say. But it was a positive thing.
Did you actually have more in that movie?
Yes.
Masturbation scene never would have worked, man. I saw that rough cut.
John does a double take in A League of Their Own, and I don't know how many times we've been with you where people will come up and ask him to do that.
Is that Al or Gene's butt? Al or Mike. Yeah, for years I called them Al. I called them
Al
and Gene.
Al and
I kept forgetting. Al and Mike. Al has two first names. I kept thinking they were Al and Gene. That was about, 2 years I did that. I still do it.
I don't mind. Now, I know you haven't
liked any of my past suggestions, like switching... But I remember you guys came to me and Jim said, we have an idea for a show, and I said, was there a script? And he goes, we're not going to audition for you.
Well, we hadn't written it yet.
I said, excuse me?
I have to admit, after all these years, I thought you had a good point. You just wanted to read the script. It's like, no, you have to just trust these guys on faith. Look at them.
In retrospect, I should have trusted Jim. And
well, you did.
But
you
it's never too late to do it live, Jim. Which you said just a half hour ago you might forget because of that car accident.
Simpsons Film Festival idea.
Film Festival! Film Festival!
Like my idea?
But this kicked off The Critic, and it followed the Simpsons and held, remember, 90% of the audience, 11.1 share.
Hello.
It was a successful show.
Ken Keeler, is this Criswell?
I believe we did intend this as a reference to Criswell, the narrator of Plan 9 from Outer Space. I'm not sure anyone ever really caught that particular reference. Good for them.
Now, Maude, in our movie, you lay baby Moses in the basket, then put it among the...
Actually, that looks a little like the Incredibles promo that came out years later. Remember when he was trying to get into the uniform? I never...
I recognize that.
That's an original idea. I saw that in The Ten Commandments.
No, when I saw that in The Incredibles, I went,
I read it
before.
In The Ten
Commandments. Flanders to God, get off your cloud and save my Todd! Yay! Thanks, God.
Oakley dokley.
You know, God there sounds more like Dr. Hibbert.
Dr. Hibbert.
Yeah. Here he actually, on the show, plays God, the devil.
And Hitler.
Hitler and Jesus.
And Jesus, yes.
He does the voice of Ned Flanders.
Harry as well, yeah.
Oh, Harry again?
Yeah.
He's so good, I can't recognize, I can't tell who's doing it.
It's a terrific voice, and this is true. There is a religious cult in Britain, a serious religious cult that dresses up like Ned Flanders, dresses in sweaters and ties, worship. I'm not making it up.
A religious cult?
Yes.
Are they trying to look like Ned Flanders? Or
yes, Ned Flanders. I mean, it's not like that they resemble him coincidentally. It's that they actually are moved by the character on our show to go worship.
They worship a cartoon character?
It's just like we did.
In the Salvation Army, said in Salvation Army Academy, they loved Flanders. He was their favorite character, and they thought he rang so true. I met a cop last weekend who said to me, "You must have a policeman on the staff. You nail Wiggum so perfectly."
No, and when we went to the nuclear plant, it wasn't that far off what Homer does.
Yeah. As you can see, we adjusted the critic for Simpsons Land. We made him yellower and gave him an overbite. It's seamless.
Yeah, and then for the second season of The Critic, which this kicked off, we had adjusted the critic's design from the first. People thought he was a little unsympathetic and a loser, so his body got more curved, a little shorter, his eyes got bigger, basically looking a lot more like a Smurf.
Hmm. Yeah, and then I remember they changed the drawing, and then I slowly morphed. My body got rounder.
Anyway, we think you'll really enjoy our quiet little town. Sincerely, Marge Simpson.
You can't tell from this shot, but the critic, as I recall, was hung.
Yes, that was the one difference from the way the real John Lovitz looks. I'm positive.
No, that was the one similarity.
Taxi! To the airport!
Well, that's supposed to be Schwarzenegger, isn't it?
Well, it's a character we call McBain, but yeah, it's a Schwarzenegger parody. And we've had him do things like the real Schwarzenegger in the show.
The last line of that act was an ad-lib by Dan Castellaneta. He wasn't even playing Schwarzenegger, but he was doing a temp voice for Harry Shearer, and he gave us our joke to go out on. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
There you go. Just a second. Oh, that's you. Go.
Hello, I'm Marge Simpson, and this is my.
Dan, you couldn't get the name right.
Nice to meet you, Marge. I saw your hair from.
That's also was that based on a true story?
Know if he had a pimple or a boil.
It was a gummy bear.
Coming up, we had a little reference to. You know, what we were trying to do here, to do this show for partially business reasons. So we did a little reference to The Simpsons. And meeting the critic being like the Flintstones meeting the Jetsons, and then Bart doing this shameless plug for the critic.
This is your joke, right, Al?
Yeah.
It was a very funny joke.
I remember I was thrilled that I had scenes with Homer and Bart.
Well, one reason, too, we thought John would be perfect is we had worked on the episodes of The Simpsons that he'd previously been in. He did Artie Ziff, which was in a show that we wrote with Sam Simon, and then he was the musical director in the Streetcar musical. He was the art teacher for Marge in the Ringo Starr episode. I mean, you know, one of our very favorite guest stars up with, like, Phil Hartman and Kelsey Grammer over the run of the show.
Yeah, but obviously I was your favorite.
You rank up there, John. You are one of our favorite guests.
On the other hand, I love to.
Then get me his non-union Mexican equivalent. Listen, Senor Spielberg.
Now this character, of course, was the impetus for the movie Spanglish, coming out on DVD.
It came out.
I hope the sales spike again.
I like the challenge, Jim. Every opportunity to sell something to help out,
even things he doesn't have a piece of.
Right, John always has our twist on philanthropy, I think. It's like,
I'm grateful. It's the least I can do.
John always operates on the principle that we're going out live with all this, too. He'll promote movies.
You mean like the movie The Benchwarmers I'm currently filming, or the movie The Producers, the musical?
You've been cut out of both, John, but still.
Call the 1-800 number on your screen right now to get tickets.
Ooh, it's so hot in here.
When you're at the Laugh Factory, do you MC?
No. I do stand up.
You do stand up?
I mean, you say the whole
Artie Ziff.
I'm just asking what the process is.
How long do you do? I did an hour 20.
What? Oh.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you two, you're a set act. You don't.
Right.
You don't do things?
I'm doing stand up now.
Are you interacting with the audience, making it up as part of it?
Well, if they interrupt me, I do.
That was Maurice LaMarche doing his patented belch. We used him many, many times on The Critic.
Yeah, Maurice, one of the most versatile voiceover actors, a very talented impressionist, a really terrific guy.
And it's not a belch. I mean, he would never tell us how he did it, but it is an imitation of a belch.
One thing, though, people would think is that they would think that we would have Maurice do The Critic's voice. And he did occasionally when we needed to get an audio track and John wasn't available, but we would never air what Maurice did. The actual critic on the air was always John.
Maurice imitates my voice so good, he actually looped a line of mine in this movie I did, and then he called me up from the soundstage, and I thought I heard myself. I thought he was holding the phone up in the air to the movie, but
really?
It was him, his line recorded. I thought it was me, and it was him.
I was like,
that's you?
I got a phone message, like, Al, this is John Lovitz. I want you to fire Maurice LaMarche. He's really poor. And, like, I really believed it was you, and then about a minute in, I realized it was Maurice doing you. It was uncanny.
Yeah.
And were you thinking of firing?
Well, it's not like the sentiment is beyond John.
No. The material was perfect. There was just a slight hitch in the voice that tipped me off.
I never told you to fire Maurice. Let's not get that started.
As soon as he said he was straight, that's when you knew.
Well, when you say take somebody's lines away, it's like firing.
Oh, that. Well, I thought the show was called The Critic, not The Maurice.
Why are these other people talking?
I know. But I worked very hard in The Critic, and also when I remember I did Artie Ziff.
I don't know about that.
No, I did. Remember, I did Artie Ziff, and I worked on the voice, so it came out to me, hello, I'm Artie Ziff. And then they go, now you're doing a different character, and I worked on it for months, and they go, hello, I'm Jay Sherman. Very different.
The Critic has remained a labor of love. It came a cropper, you know, at Fox because there was one hostile executive who was here briefly and ran the place, and, you know, it was just the harsh luck of the draw.
Go ahead, sleep with him. I'll just take a lock of your hair to remember you by. It's just you and me now, lock of hair.
What happened was we had sold the show to Lucy Sulhaney, who was running Fox, and then, unfortunately, she wasn't running Fox when it aired. And that happens all the time. It's a big waste in TV that an executive develops a project and then isn't there when it comes on. And just very, very sad process sometimes.
Sir, the actors are here to audition for the part of you.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Next. X-L-A. Next.
Exactly.
So. Next.
Excelente.
Es muy bueno.
Oh, it's hopeless. I'll have to play myself.
No, I thought they were playing the Rocky Horror Picture Show tonight.
A little earlier, John, you were singing. I wanted to point out, you actually sang at Carnegie Hall once, right?
Bright lights, beef, jerky.
Three times, thank you.
I can't even plug you without getting.
But I tell you, each time I sang, they said, you know, that's as good as it gets out on DVD now.
Mo the bartender in Mo Better Booze.
Money gets you one more round. Drink it down, you stupid clown. Money gets.
Now, this character, of course, was based on Al Jean. This is Al Jean.
Whoa. Ah, my God.
I just want to plug my new baby, 5 months old. Proves I'm not gay.
Doesn't mean anything.
He keeps on saying, when he shows you the picture, he says, my proof, it's so strange.
Yeah, you see a woman with a baby.
Her name's Violet, just so I can complete the plug.
This isn't America's funniest home videos.
But the ball is groin! It works at so many levels! Roll it again. Next, they're going to show my movie.
You made a movie?
I made a movie? No wonder I was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Susie, you want to talk about this movie briefly that Barney directed?
This was one of the most favorite things that I ever did while I was working on The Simpsons. It was just a lot of fun. I think all the movies that the characters do in this episode are really clever, but this one in particular was, you know, it's real artsy and black and white and all that stuff, and it was, I was very satisfied with it.
This, I think the music and the animation is a little bit like the film Koyaanisquatsi, which I believe was scored by Philip Glass. And then there was a Calvin Klein commercial that this is a little bit based on that aired around the time the show came out. Tender, he has the
soul of a poet. It has a nice effect with the blowing curtains that was, you know, before we did things on computer. So I had them done in airbrush, and then they were also, you know, not fully exposed so that they would be transparent, and it worked out pretty good.
That, of course, is me singing in the background. I sang that at Carnegie Hall.
That was recorded
at
Carnegie Hall.
I allowed them to use this recording for the film. Finn.
I think we have a winner.
What I miss?
Homer, please pay attention. There's just one more movie.
I had this picture on my wall for a long time.
Yes. This is the opening of The Agony and the Ecstasy.
But how do you direct a cartoon? I mean, they're characters. What do you tell them? They're drawings. You just scream at them and go, say your line faster?
That's probably the question I get asked more than any other.
No, but I'm serious.
You direct the artists. You tell people what you want them to draw, or you draw it yourself.
Can you draw? We did
20. Actually, I can.
Remember. This is Sean's version of hitting on you. How's it going?
That's his opening line to it. And it's worked like a charm.
What do you do?
Do you draw?
It comes in handy for animation.
I'll pose for you.
I couldn't help noticing you're a girl. You know,
with
I,
a
like
pencil.
My critic character, am hung.
And unlike everyone else in the room, I'm not gay.
Yes.
Well, what if I am?
What if you're gay?
Yeah.
Not a problem.
It won't bother him. He's broad-minded.
Oh, that's Phil Hartman
doing
Charlton Heston, which he stole from me.
I think he stole
did.
It from Charlton Heston.
No, I said, Phil, I do Charlton Heston. Every movie does this. Oh, my God. Wait. Next thing you know, Phil's doing my impression of Charlton Heston on Saturday Night Live. He admitted it.
Yeah,
and that's... All right, you know what? If it's not true, let him walk in the room and deny it.
I think you invented comedy, didn't you? Everyone's really stealing everything from you.
He stole my impression of Charlton Heston.
Pocahontas.
Second?
Well, I vote for Burns's movie.
Me too. Now let's get going. I got a date with Eudora Welty. Coming, Eudora.
Excellent. Bribing those two judges has paid off, just as it did during the Miss Teen America pageant.
How can you vote for Burns' movie?
Let's just say it moved me to a bigger house!
Oops. And there's Al Jean.
Who else stole from you? Chris Farley? Bellucci?
No.
Abe Lincoln?
John Paul II?
Who?
We're talking about beloved figures who've left us.
Why don't we all take a 5-minute break? It'll clear our heads.
Good idea, Marge. My mind is going a mile a minute.
There's Alan, Mike.
When John would be doing ADR at The Critic, which is additional dialogue recording, we would come in and he would put on all this tape that we couldn't then use, these songs about how gay Mike and I were, instead of the dialogue that we had actually asked him to record.
It's now a record. John put it out.
It's only a box set. He did it so often.
So these jibes have spanned the years.
Oh, yeah.
I remember there was a
Cat Stevens song where he would never do the right... I can only remember it now as like, if you want to be gay, be gay.
Fall in the groin.
Don't cry for me. I'm already dead.
Wow. I'll never drink another beer.
Beer here.
I'll take 10.
And now to announce the winners. The award for Outstanding Animated Short goes to Itchy and Scratchy for their film, Four Funerals and...
I just remember singing those songs and Al and Mike looking at each other and saying, damn, why didn't we think of that?
So, again, this cartoon was written sort of after the fact. We just had a funny title, and then I think the guys doing a rewrite came up with it very quickly.
Yeah, we used to send pages down. If Mike would direct, I'd do the rewrite.
Oh, during the record,
and
yeah.
On the Monday record day.
Yeah, we'd get the rewrites as we were recording.
Barney Gumble!
Another thing I would do, of course, is have Dan, who did Homer, and Julie, does Marge always saying dirty stuff, just for my little enjoyment.
He would have me say something filthy. He would suggest a filthy, like, next take, say this terribly filthy.
Oh, you mean Homer and Marge?
Yeah,
then I myself would ask.
I would say it, and I go, I don't want to say it. And then we go on, do it. So I would say, okay, and I'd do it, and then it would just lay there like a lead balloon. It was awful, horrible, bad taste line. And I would go, well, John told me this. He goes, I did not. I didn't tell you to say that. And if you
ever want to visit, well, it's funny.
As I recall, you guys were eager to say it.
No, and there was a big triangle on the show because you're already Zip, who's always trying to steal Marge from Homer.
Marge, look,
since the high school days.
Yes, but I wasn't trying to steal Julie Kavner from Dan. Or you from Mike.
And there are some awards that you can watch.
And the Oscar goes to.
I've got to win this one. I bribed everyone in Hollywood.
George Z. Scott in Man Getting Hit by Football.
Who's doing the voice of that?
That's Harry again.
Harry
doing
George C. Scott is done by...
And the guy?
This is Maurice doing
LaMarche.
George C. Scott.
Maurice doing LaMarche. George C. Scott.
Who's that? Brad Bird, never met him. A lot of writers on the show used to write on Saturday Night Live. John Vitti, Schwartzwelder, George
and also
Meyer.
Also Letterman alums.
Oh, Letterman.
And Keel. During your time, John? When you were...
Yeah. Schwartzwelder, Vitti, and George Meyer all there when I was there.
Was Ian there when you were there, or did he come after?
After.
You know, I actually say this is not a kiss-up. I think that's my favorite era of Saturday Night Live.
Checks in the mail.